Now let's come back to Ephesians, the first chapter, because I want you and all of us to grasp what God is doing with us. Don't look to the physical circumstances as a sign whether God is with you or not. You look to the spiritual circumstances and your relationship with God. And remember this, it doesn't matter if you get old and gray and wrinkled and withered, because God says he will not forsake you in your old age. Remember that. Okay. Now, I recently on Church at Home, I did one where I was telling them, God still loves you even when you look your worst. Like you wake up in the morning and your hair is all bleh! And you look in the mirror and you don't have your glasses on yet, and you don't have your teeth in yet, you don't have your hearing aid in yet, you know. And you look in the mirror and you say, God still loves you, because he knows the beauty that he's going to give you. See? So don't worry about it. Just remember the speck. God can change it. Now here's what comes from God. This is what God wants us to have. Grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole umbrella of our relationship with God. Now blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly things with Christ. Now we haven't received them all yet, but we will in the ages to come. Do you have God's Spirit? Yes. Is that a heavenly spiritual blessing? Yes. Do you have God's Word? Is that a spiritual heavenly blessing? Yes. Understanding of the Word of God? Is that a spiritual blessing? Yes, it is. If you don't believe it, try someone out in the world that knows nothing. If that doesn't convince you, go down to a discotheque like someone did on a Friday night and walk in and see all of these men and women around there. And I think they showed a clip of it. And the woman called all the women, "You whores." And the guy called all the men, "You whoremongers." And boy, they almost got beat up and kicked out of the bar. But what do you think they were for? They're for on Friday night. Okay. Yes. They don't know any spiritual blessing. They don't understand God. Now, we can be thankful we understand about the second resurrection for those people. But nevertheless, we're talking about us. Now, verse 4 is really a tremendous verse here. According as he has personally chosen us. Now, the reason I translated it personally chosen, because it comes from the form of the verb that is called a middle voice verb, which is, you are the subject and you are the object. God is the subject, but he is not the object directly. He has chosen us personally for himself, to receive us to himself. So I translated it personally. Did God the Father give you of his Spirit to be his son or daughter? Yes. Physically, spiritually, yes. Okay. Now it says before the foundation of the world, that's when he set up his plan so that those who would answer the call, because many are called but few are chosen, because few choose to answer the call. Okay. He set this plan up before the foundation of the world in order. Now notice what it says we're going to be. Holy and blameless before him in love. Is that not a perfect relationship? Yes, it is. Now you compare that to being carnal and sinful and obstinate and workers of the flesh. See the conversion? But the conversion is not complete until the resurrection, having predestinated us for sonship to himself. Listen, all of those who come into the kingdom of God through the second resurrection are not going to be in the family of God. They are called nations that are saved. Revelation 21. Only those in the first resurrection are going to be in the family of God. So not only have we been chosen to rule the world, we've been chosen to be in the family of God, and God the Father is directly working with us. Now, when you read the prophecy about Christ, where he is called the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Everlasting Father, he won't become the Father until he marries the church, and through the millennium then, the spiritual children that are produced into the kingdom of God become our children. Does that make sense? Now, you might have to think on that a time or two. Okay. Now, notice, for sonship to himself through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his own will. See what God has called us to? What a fantastic relationship that is. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us objects of his grace in the beloved Son. Now, did he love Jesus Christ? Was he pleased with Jesus Christ? Yes. Now, we are the objects, the recipients of God's grace, of his Spirit, of his knowledge, of his word, of his plan, of our destiny, of the calling that he has called us. He knows what he has called us from, because Paul declared it there in the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, correct? But look what he's doing with us. All right, let's go forward. In whom we have redemption through his blood, verse 7, even the remission of sins through the according to the riches of his grace. Now you start reading this, and you really begin to think and know and understand, if God before us, if God is for us, which he is, who can be against us? What can be against us? Nothing. That's why Jesus said, don't fear the one who's able to kill the body but is not able to take the life, because he's going to give it back in tenfold measure and spirit being at the resurrection. All right, let's go forward here. I mean, to me, this is some of the most inspiring part of the Bible that there is. This is our personal relationship with God. Okay? Remission of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he has made to abound toward us in all wisdom and intelligence. You see, the education we are getting is a greater education than the elite of this world, because we're being educated through God's word, by the Spirit of God, in a personal relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now that's the best deal possible, right? And I'll tell you one thing, you can't go online and sign up for this education. Okay? Now not only that, here's what he's done. Having made known to us the mystery of his own will, the secret of God's will, held secret from generations past, held secret since the foundation of the world, according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself. See, and God is love. He proposed this, that in a divine plan for the fulfilling of the times, he might bring all things together in Christ, both the things in the heavens and the things upon the earth. Yes, in him, in whom we also have obtained an inheritance, having been predestinated according to his purpose, who is working out all things according to the counsel of his own will. Now you understand why prayer and Bible study is so important. You come to God, you yield to God, he grants you of his Spirit, he opens your mind, he gives you understanding according to his own will, that we might be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. Isn't that something? The world is going to praise God because of us after we are resurrected and in the kingdom of God. That's staggering, brother. You know, it makes me think of these military men who have gone out and, you know, they have sacrificed things and they have given their lives, given their limbs. Some survive, some die. And the ones who survive all line up at attention, stand at attention, and the commander-in-chief, the president, and then the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff come down in special salute to all of these men who really dedicated their lives and given it to them, and they give them the Medal of Honor. Put that Medal of Honor around them, you see. And we think, oh, that's quite a ceremony, isn't it? Well, think what it's going to be like on the Sea of Glass. We're all there before God the Father and Jesus Christ. You're all going to get a new name. We're all going to get a crown of righteousness. We're all going to learn how we're going to take over the world. We're going to invade from outer space, not quite outer space, but the Sea of Glass, you know. Okay? And we sing a song. We sing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb. And all the resurrected saints, from Abel clear on down to the last two witnesses, the first and the last. We get done singing that song and we all shout, Hallelujah! Lord God Almighty! That's something. That's going to be what's going to happen, brethren. All right. That's our inheritance. He's working it out according to the counsel of his own will, that we might be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, now verse 13, and whom you also trusted after hearing the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after believing you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That's what you were made to receive. Every human being on earth without the Spirit of God is incomplete, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. And that day's coming. That day's coming. Let the world be in chaos. Let them fight and scream and yell and have all of their political things that they're going to do and whatever they're going to do. Don't worry about them. We're going to end up solving the problem for them. All right, now let's come to chapter 3. Chapter 3. Let's pick up where we left off last time here, verse 7. Okay? So, brethren, let me tell you something else that is true, too. What the church does as a collective group is the work of the ministry. We all have part in it. I do my part, you do your part, we all do our parts. The work of God, on the other hand, is what God is doing in each one of us. See, that is the work of God. We are his workmanship. He is the potter. We are the clay. And he's going to mold us, and he's going to fashion us, and he's going to make us. Tender, loving care. And it's going to be at the resurrection is going to be on anything we can comprehend now, because our minds cannot grasp the greatness of what it's going to be. Like Paul says, we look through a glass darkly. But that doesn't mean we can't be inspired. That doesn't mean we can't be uplifted to look forward to that. And in this time of trouble that we see all around us, keep our focus, keep our purpose, keep our minds on it. Keep pointing toward that goal every day, every day, every day, every day. See, that's how it's going to be. Okay, verse 7. Paul says, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the grace of God, which was given to me through the inner working of his power. Let me tell you something, brethren. No minister can do anything to teach and help the brethren without the Spirit of God. Has to be, because it is a spiritual work. Now notice how Paul felt about this. Notice how much different that this is from King Hezekiah, receiving this great knowledge and great information, never before revealed until God revealed it to his apostles and prophets. The greatest thing that can be to me, who am less than the least of all the saints. How's that for a papal attitude? Ah, see? Was this grace given to me to receive and understand this knowledge as grace, that I might preach the gospel among the Gentiles, even the unsearchable riches of Christ? You can't measure how great it is. You can't comprehend what it's going to be. But we can get a glimmer of it. We can get a preview of it. We can get an understanding of it. And that I might enlighten all as to what is the fellowship of this mystery. The fellowship with God the Father and Jesus Christ that has been hidden from the ages in God who created all things by Jesus Christ, so that the manifold wisdom of God might now be made known through the church to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places. God has given us understanding through his word that even the angels do not have, and even the angels cannot attain. Right now we're lower than angels, but at the resurrection, we're going to be greater than the angels. According to his eternal purpose. See, this is going to go on into the ages of eternity. This is not going to stop. How's it going to be? The older you get, the younger you become. Now that's a new one, isn't it, huh? Okay. His eternal purpose, which he has wrought in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and direct access with confidence through his very own faith. See, that's what God wants to give us. Yes, we have faith and belief when we come to Christ. But when we come to him, he gives us of his faith, of his grace, of his truth, you see. That's why he told the disciples, he said, have faith from God. And it really means in the Greek, have the faith of God. Is there any doubt in God? No. See, there it is right there. So then I beseech you not to faint at my tribulations for you, which are working for your glory. For this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do, brother. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And how great that is going to be. How many people down through the ages have been called since the New Testament church and then on back to the patriarchs? What is that going to be like at the resurrection on the sea of glass? We're all going to be resurrected. We'll all have the same language. It won't be a Tower of Babel up there. We won't need any interpreters. Who do you want to talk to? I know there's one man I want to talk to, or two, in addition to Christ. That's William Tyndale and the Apostle Paul. Look how much God did with one man through William Tyndale. And we have the results of what he has done here. And this is the only Bible in the world that has a picture of his statue in the Bible to give him the original credit for translating the Bible from the original Greek and original Hebrew into English now over 500 years ago. Nearly 500. Not quite. Not quite. We're getting there. Okay? Chased, hunted, hounded, betrayed, arrested, imprisoned, burned at the stake. And his last words were, O God, open the eyes of the King of England. And that prayer was answered almost immediately. As old Henry VIII said to the Pope, bye-bye, sayonara, I don't need you. Turned around and ordered Bibles put into every church in England, newly translated, from whom? William Tyndale. And if someone didn't know how to read, he ordered that there be a reader provided for him. And what we have today is a result of what he has done, and now we have the fullness of the knowledge of it as never before, brethren. And it's going out into the world, into hundreds of millions of Bibles, every conceivable language. God is going to give a witness to this world that it is not even going to comprehend or understand. And one day he's going to say, well, did you have a Bible? Yeah, but I never read it. Is that my fault or yours? See? We look back and see what God has done down through history. And then we look and see what we have to look forward to, where we can really comprehend it, to where we have the whole Word of God. We have the peace, we have the time, we have the ability. Now that window may be closing down on us. So we need to have the zeal and the drive and the desire and the love and the Spirit of God to do so. That's why he says, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Now notice what's going to happen. This is his prayer. It's written in the Word of God, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with power by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the whole purpose of Sabbath services. That's the whole purpose of the Word of God, the Spirit of God, where we're going in our calling. We are being prepared for the greatest job in the whole history of the earth, to rule the world under Christ. But now it is that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that being rooted and grounded in love. That's the whole thing, brother. It's not numbers. It's not money. It is the love of God, rooted and grounded in love. And that's what it takes to understand the Word of God and the plan of God. You may be fully able to comprehend with all the saints. I want you to listen to this. I want you to think about this. What is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height? Now, we'll receive all of that at the resurrection. But now we can comprehend it to the point that we become inspired and uplifted and moved, and to know the love of Christ who willingly gave himself, which surpasses human knowledge, so that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. That's God's plan. That's God's calling. That's why we're here, brethren. You see? So whatever is in your life, bring everything that you have in focus to this. Let nothing deter you from. Let no trial overwhelm you. Let no disappointment discourage you. But always look to God the Father and Jesus Christ. They love you and have called you, and you're going to be in the family of God. So, brethren, that's our calling. Now, there are two more verses here we need to read. Verse 20. Now to him who is able, and that means has the power, to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, even into the ages of eternity. Amen. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.